for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Saturday morning, February the 20th, 2016. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Healing the Broken Heart.
Jerry McGee. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I just need to share this. When Carla shared last night that she flunked speech in college, so did I. I hated that class. I just wouldn't go because there was a guy in the back that would make faces at me, and I just would freeze. I just hated it. We've got a lot in common. She's got a son named Kyle. I have a son named Kyle. Anyway, bless the Lord. She's my roommate here at camp. Blessing. I learned a lot from her. Well, praise God for all the deliverance that's already happened.
Amen. Amen.
You know, all deliverance is James 4:7, give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. And there's sins behind all the demons. And so get rid of the sin and the demons leave. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, I felt led, in fact, this camp, I was going to teach on a grasshopper spirit this afternoon, but the Lord led me to teach on, not this morning, but this afternoon, on anger, overcoming anger and unforgiveness. And it seems like Meryl's mentioned it and Carla's mentioned it, and so lots of people here need to hear this, right? Amen? Because like Meryl said last night, unforgiveness is behind all of your demon problems. And sickness, unforgiveness is behind sickness. You know, sometimes we just need to forgive ourselves. And also, either we need forgiveness or we need to forgive. But anyway, there's repercussions. But it's just not a message just telling you about anger. It's telling you how to overcome it. We're not to allow it in our life. But what I want to share this morning, when I said, Lord, give me messages that would be best benefit the people that will be here. And I've been praying for you a long time, and I know the camp's been praying. I know Carla's been praying, and I know Deborah's been praying, and a lot of you others have been praying for the camp that the Lord would work. And so I want you to pray with me now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Father, in Jesus' name,
Father,
I expose to you my conscience. By this way, this is on the healing of broken heart. And everybody here has had at least one broken heart. So, Lord, I expose to you my conscience. I ask you to search me out by your Holy Spirit. Come into every memory you want to heal. Forgive me for vowing I won't remember. Forgive me for being afraid to remember. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. And Lord, I ask you to come deep down in my heart by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I give you permission to unlock every memory that you want to heal. In Jesus' name. Get the verse of this. Broken heart in the Hebrew means, let me turn this around. It means to burst, to break down, to break off, to break in pieces, to break up, to crush, to destroy, to hurt, and to quench. In the Greek, it means to be crushed completely, to shatter, to break in pieces, break in shivers, and to bruise. The dictionary definition is heartbreak as a crushing, grief, anguish, distress, to be burdened with sorrow, grief, or disappointment. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for your angels that are ministering spirits sent to help and care for those who receive your salvation. We thank you that we've been seated in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Lord, we take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the authority that you've given us to bind and loose. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you from this meeting. We bind you on earth. We bind you in the heavenly places. We bind you from this camp, from our lives, from our homes, from everything that concerns us. We bind the strong man over our lives. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us, over this camp, over Meryl Barbara, over Patty Kevin, over Sandy, Linda, over Rick. In Jesus' name, over every person at this camp, in the name, power, blood, over Dan and Crystal, in Jesus' name, we break your power over every life, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that you are a life giver, that you're the way, the truth, and the life, and we bind the truth of God to each of our hearts, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for revelation knowledge. I pray, Lord, that you bring to my remembrance everything you've said. I pray, Lord, that I be a tree of life, that rivers of living water come forth from my innermost being. And, Lord, I ask that every life in this place go home changed by your mighty power. Lord, we've already seen so many things you've done. You've been working on hearts. You've been dealing with hearts, Lord, and we just praise you. To have a broken heart is, metaphorically speaking, it's that hurt down in your chest that happens when you're disappointed or you're grieved over a circumstance in life. And we've all gone through areas and things in our life where we've had our heart broken. We've been disappointed in ourselves. You know, it's harder sometimes to forgive yourself than it is anybody else. At least it is for me. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken." And that word "sad" means to be, to worship and serve an idol. So how is this? So when I get hurt, if I don't go to God in my hurt and let God deal with my hurt through forgiving whoever hurt me, if I don't do that, I come short of the grace of God and I receive a root of bitterness and I keep my broken heart. And so a joyful heart here, the word "joyful" in the Hebrew means a defiled heart. It says, it makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, smitten, broken, crushed, and it means to worship and serve an idol, it says the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is a good medicine." So that means joyful there, it means an undefiled heart is a good medicine. We've all, from the time coming down through the generations, we've all had broken hearts that have come down, sadness, hurt, bitterness, anger. We've been born with a lot of stuff, even at birth. We come into this world with the sins of our forefathers, the generational iniquities of the forefathers. And so all of those things, life experiences, is stored down in our heart. And we don't see everything. And God uses the problem to show you what he wants to deal with next. He wants to show you what's down in the heart. But we have to ask him, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me through what I'm going through right now?" Because there's a message in all of it. So God says, if our heart is joyful, it's a good medicine. So if our heart is sad or broken or smitten or afflicted, we get sick. And so coming out of sickness, I mean, the root of sickness is really coming out of a defiled heart, out of a heart that's not joyful. And you say, "Well, you know, I'm happy, I'm joyful." But, there, you know, any time that there's sin down in our life that we don't see, there's a sad place down in our heart. We may feel happy, we may not see it. But when we go through circumstances, God uses those circumstances to pull up what he wants to deal with next. And I'm so thankful that God has taught me that over the years, is that when there's a problem, I always ask God, what are you trying to show me? And last night when Carla was sharing, if you judge yourself, you're not judged. And I think it has to do with sickness, weakness, and death, because if you take the Lord's Supper with sin in your life, it says you're weak, you're sick, and you're deaf. Well, how many times have we done that? So that can be a route to sickness. But I was encouraged because I'm always judging myself. But I'm not condemned by what I see. You know what I'm saying? I deal with it. It doesn't, in other words, when I see my sin, I don't feel condemned. I just say, you know, Lord, thank you that you've shown me this, and I repent, and I get delivered. And I thank the Lord for that because even in old age, God's letting me go from strength to strength and glory to glory because every day is a day of deliverance. And so sometimes I tell people, sin is behind your sickness. And they say, well, you know, I've repented of everything I know. You know, I'm forgiving everybody I know. I've dealt with everything I know. But you know what? There's things buried down in our hearts. Life, all of life's experiences, every negative thing, every positive thing, good and bad things have been stored down in our hearts. The Bible says where our treasure is, there will also be our heart. We've got good treasure. We've got bad treasure. So always, if you've got sickness in your body, you need to go beyond down into the past and ask the Lord to show you what he's trying to bring so that that sadness can get out. If you don't do it, eventually it will work out in your body in physical sickness. And I'm thankful that I just turned 77 last week, and I pray to God that I'm not on any medication. Jesus is my doctor.
Amen.
And if he's wanting to take me out of here, I'm ready to go.
Amen.
I mean, I praise God. He's my eye doctor, too. Bless the Lord. Not saying I won't go, but, you know, I found that when I repent of my sin, I get healed. A few weeks ago, I'll say probably last month, I can tell you when I had a cold. I mean, it's been years. Well, I started sneezing, and the next day, the minute something was coming out on me, I said, oh God, what'd I do? And I started repenting, and I listened to the Bible when I sleep at night, and normally I sleep and I don't hear the Bible. I play it loud as I'm talking, and normally when you sleep, your spirit man hears, but your body doesn't, you're asleep. But that particular night, my goodness, I heard every scripture I needed to repent of. I repented all night long. The next day I was better, and the next day I was better. I was totally healed. Now, that never got green. It never got, because the minute it started coming at me, I started repenting. And you know what the Lord showed me? I have a precious cousin that just moved close to me, and she trusts the doctor. She trusts, you know, I'm taking my meds today, and I'm not judging her. I mean, I'm not now. But that's what God showed me. I judged her, and I started getting, you, like Carla said, you judge somebody, and you're writing a purchase order. So when you start getting sick, start saying, instead of calling the doctor, call the Lord. Say, okay, Lord, what I do? Because there's something behind it. And it can be so buried. It can be childhood issues that have not been dealt with. And so if a joyful, undefiled heart is a good medicine, a broken spirit dries up the bones. And so sickness is coming out of a heart that's not joyful someplace. We may say, well, I'm dancing in the Lord, and I'm happy, and I'm joyful. But really, there's stuff that we don't even see. Lots of stuff. Just keep on dealing with stuff. A broken heart can cause emotional and physical pain. There's a medical condition called broken heart syndrome. It can even a broken heart can even cause your heart to be damaged. And I really believe that a broken heart could be a big percentage of why people have heart trouble is a broken heart. Broken heart is behind addictions. Pain is behind addictions. And so there's pain, there's emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, spiritual pain. And God says remove vexation from your heart and you can put pain out of your body. Well, what is vexation? It's grief, it's sadness, it's sorrow, it's anger, it's hurt. And it's idolatry because in that grief and the sadness and the hurt, I didn't turn to God, I turned to a false god. For example, if Eva hurts my feelings before I leave here, and if I don't deal with it, I got till sundown. Like Carla said, she thought, well, it's, you know, it's already past 12 o'clock.
But then she hurts my feelings instead of me dealing with it. I'm thinking, I'm just not going to talk to her anymore. I'm just going to not share my heart with her. I'm just going to, you know, pretend she don't exist. Then I just turn to a false god. Three of them right there. I'm not going to talk to her, mother. That's a false god. And God says, little children, flee from idolatry. And so anytime I'm going through pain and I don't go to God, I'm going to something else. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so that idolatry, God says, if I don't go to him and it's all idolatry, no idolater will even enter the kingdom of heaven. And so a broken heart can cause heart problems, heart damage, broken heart syndrome. Addictions can be behind it. And regardless of the cause of a broken heart, God wants to heal it. He wants to take away your pain. The good news is, in Psalms 34, verse 8, he says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. That's good news. He says he won't leave you as an orphan. And I know many of you, I really know that many of you, probably all of you, have come here with a broken heart. But God wants to fix you. He wants to put you back together again. And you know, many of you have tried your best to heal yourself superficially. You've just said, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'll forget it. You've gone to psychologists. You've gone to psychiatrists. You've taken medication. You've drank. You've took drugs. You build walls around your heart. And when we do all these things, what we do is we put a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. And that's what we do. Anytime we don't deal with the sin behind our problem, we're putting a Band-Aid on it, going to the world for answers. And the world can't heal you. They can cut it out, move it around, shift it up, sew it up, take it out, medicate it. But you still, now not only do you have the spiritual problem, now you have the consequences and the repercussions of all the medicine they've given you where there's side effects to medicine. The precious lady that does my hair, she said, I'm just so tired. Recently, her blood pressure got down to so dangerous they put her in ICU. And so now it's 80 over 50, and she's working every day. I said, what medications are you taking? She said, well, I'm just taking Xanax. And she told me another. And I looked at that up on the internet. And one of the things it can affect your blood platelets. And she said, well, that says blood platelets. I said, well, if it's blood, it affects your blood. It doesn't matter if it's a platelet or what. And it makes you tired, plus all the other side effects of just Xanax. And she gave me another one. She took makes tiredness. She said, I'm just so tired. It makes you tired. And so if you're taking medication, you better get on the internet and Google in side effects of whatever. Because, and one of the side effects of psychiatric medicine is suicide. I know people that have killed, I know a man who killed himself. He was depressed. He went to a doctor. He gave him psychiatric medicine. This man would have never killed himself if he had been sober. But medication makes you drunk, makes you docile, makes you gain weight. Oh my goodness. And you know what? I heard my son say this the other day. If you get tired of overcoming, guess what? You're going to be overcome. Is that right? Yeah. By the way, if you're at next camp, you get to meet my grandson. Oh. All capital letters. He's my prayer buddy. Every week we pray, and he said last Sunday, his grandma's Sunday is my favorite day. I can't wait to get to church and see what God did. Oh, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. A few years ago, he was going to go into the Marines, and that grieved my heart. Not that I don't honor the Marines. I have another grandson-in-law that's a Marine, and it just grieved my heart. I just grieved over it for 2 or 3 months. And finally, one day, I took him up the mountain like I tell you to do, like Abraham took up Isaac. I said, Lord, if it glorify you the most for him to be in the Marines, I ask you to put him in the Marines. The devil, you can't put him there. And next thing I know, he tore the ACL or whatever in his knee. Ended his military ambition. Now he's home praying with me. And I didn't ask God to hurt him. I just said, Lord,
that's right.
But I tell you, he's got
fear of God on him. He has got the fear of God on him. Goodness.
Okay.
I just praise the Lord for that.
And the Lord healed him at that
day. Yeah, he's healed his back. The first camp he came to, the Lord healed his back and healed his knee. His knee still bothered him even after he had surgery, but the Lord healed his knee. I was going to tell you something else, and I forgot what it was. Oh, I know. He said, Grandmother, he just said this that week. He said, Grandmother, you've taken me to Hawaii. You've taken me to Toronto. You've taken me
to New York.
I've taken me to New York 3 years in a row. Look, Grandmother, you've taken me all these places, but the best place you've ever taken me is Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And he means it, too. He can't hardly wait to get here, but he was sidetracked. But you'll get to meet him in May, unless something comes up. But it's not. Praise the Lord. I'll quit talking about my grandson. He's so grand. I always knew that I was going to have somebody in the family that understood me. But I didn't know when it was going to be. It just happened quicker than I thought.
Yay!
The other day he said, Grandmother, we're best friends. He said, you and I are just alike. Nobody else wants to be like me. Oh, goodness. It's a blessing. You know, God says, delight yourself in the Lord and you will have the desires of your heart. You know, it might happen quicker than you think. Bless the Lord. The good news is that God wants to set us free. He's near to the brokenhearted, and he heals and saves the crushed in spirit. And so we need to repent of all the band-aids we put over our heart. God wants to forever heal you, and he wants you to go home healed and totally different than you came. You know, if you come here and you leave the same way, you didn't hear from God. But I tell you, nobody that comes to Lake Hamilton goes home the same way. Ever. Praise God. So I just want to tell you to keep on coming and bring people next camp. Just keep on coming. And every time I heard it was Kay last night that said how her marriage was kind of rocky and how just coming here you've been coming for 3 or 4 years maybe, and how her life has changed. And I see that. You know, even with Joan, you know, 8 years ago she wasn't ministering deliverance, but God's healed so many areas like she shared last night. And Angie, you know, Angie's written a couple of books on the pain that she's gone through. She was given away at birth into an orphanage, and she stayed in an orphanage until she was grown. But look at what she's overcome.
Amen.
Overcome. We've got to be, listen, Jesus died on the cross that we'd be overcomers.
Amen.
Not overcome, overcomers.
Amen.
And when you go to the world for answers, you're getting overcome. You not only have your problem, now you've got all of what the world's put on you. The repercussions of medical mistakes and stuff that they do to you. And so God, give us the grace to trust you, Lord. Oh God. When Jesus read from the book of Isaiah in Luke 4, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach good news to the afflicted, to bind up their broken heart, to set the captives free." And you know, he said, "Greater works will you do because I go to the Father." So he wants all of us to bind up the broken heart, to set the captives free. But we got to get free first, right? You know, I've seen Eva overcome so much. I met her 25 years, I don't know how long ago. Met her years and years and years ago. But she was satanically, richly abused by her grandmother and grandfather. And look out how she's overcome and overcome and overcome. God is so good. But He is a God that gives you answers. He's the answer man. Now, if you grew up with parents and never gave you any advice, never told you, never guided you, never directed you, you believe a lie that God's the same way, that he won't tell me either. But that's a lie. God wants to tell you. He has ordered your steps. He knows the plans he has for you. They're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. You have not blown your life, Donna. Or any of you out here. You haven't. And last night, Carla gave a prophetic word to Donna. But, and see, nobody told her to confess her faults.
But the Bible says, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. And she gave you a prophetic word, and I believe you're going to be different.
Amen.
And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. We didn't get this way overnight. But we were born with stuff coming down from our generations. I've seen Joan be diligent to deal with generational curses, Indian ancestry. She also, heard her say this morning, she was also bipolar. And now she's ministering up here, ministering deliverance. God is so good.
Amen.
And so He has given you His disciples. And a disciple is someone that lets God discipline them. And I don't mean spanking, but when you go through a trial, you go to God for discipline, because God in that trial wants to correct mistakes. He wants to realign you with the Word of God. Because wherever we violate the Word of God, we've got a problem. And so that's what God wants to do. And so there's ministers here in this camp that God wants to use, and He wants to use each of you. When you get through deliverance, you're going to be ministering deliverance. This last little precious lady, was it Sonia, that said how she ministers now? How when you, by after you get healed, and this is scriptural in Isaiah 61, I'm going to read it right now, but it's scriptural that after we get delivered, then we will rebuild the former devastations of many generations. And it says this in Isaiah. And so there's ministers here to help you get over the hump, because God wants each of you to minister, whether you have a ministry or not. We're all ambassadors of Christ. Wherever you go, God's got a word from heaven to give you for somebody. But you got to get to you got to overcome first. And so the Lord's going to remove hopelessness. And we just break the power of the spirit of hopelessness that's been on every Donna, it's been on every person in this place. There's no hope. I'm too bad. I've blown it. No, you haven't. That's a lie. In Jesus' name. Moses was 80 years old before God began to use him. So I've got a few more years. We're just now getting started. Amen.
Amen.
I just praise the Lord. I take off pills.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, and He's anointed you to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn in Zion. For those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, or King James says heaviness, it could be a cause of weight gain. So we'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. I used to tell my son Kyle, he would say, Mom, when he was about 8 or 9 years old, he'd say, Mom, can I do this? And I'd say, no, son, you can't. He'd say, Mom, you just don't trust me. I said, I trust you, but I don't trust all those people out there. I said, you're just a little twig right now, and the wind can blow you over. One of these days, you're going to be a strong oak tree, and nobody can blow you over. And if you know my son Kyle, nobody blows him over. But, you know, little twigs can be blown over.
Amen.
Isaiah 61:4 says, then, let's back up. So they'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So God wants you all to be oaks of righteousness. It says, then, after all of that, you will rebuild the ancient ruins, the former devastations of many generations, and repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. And so, you know, Jesus told the disciples, He said, referring to himself, I am the light of the world. And then he turned to the disciples. He said, you disciples are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. For a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So he was saying we're cities. And so in this deliverance process, the ruined cities get healed. For they're no longer a ruined city. The desolations of many generations, all that mess you were born with, all that stuff that came down on you generationally. It says, then it says, strangers will pasture your flocks. You don't have flocks, but that's your stuff. And the farmers will be your, now Gail has flocks. Some of you you do, but most of us don't have locks.
Well, I do. I have a cow next door.
I told my neighbor, I said, you know, we need a cow at the times we're living in. But I said, I'm doing all I can do. I can't take on another thing. I said, if you'll take care of the cow, I'll buy the cow. So I bought the cow, and she was pregnant, so she had a baby, and then that baby had a baby. Oh. So we got three cows now. Amen. So it says, strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. You'll be called the priest of the Lord. Now, after all that deliverance, you'll be called the priest of the Lord, and you'll be spoken of as ministers of our God. You'll eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you'll boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of humiliation, you'll receive joy over your portion. They'll possess a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Isaiah 58:6 says, is this not the fast I choose to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? So God's saying that's the fast he chooses to set people free. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? Now, let me say something about the poor. The poor is not the deadbeat. The poor is not the person that won't work, because God says if you don't work, you won't eat. The poor, the definition of poor is that poor, humble, pious person that is doing everything he can to get it right. Not the deadbeat, okay? And then it says, is it not to divide your bread with the hungry? I'll say this too. Sometimes the deadbeat's not hungry for the things of God. The hungry, there's a physical hunger and there's a spiritual hunger. God, give us a spiritual hunger for you in Jesus' name. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover him, and that's covered in the spiritual clothes and physical clothes, and to not hide yourself from your own flesh. Okay, let me say this. If your own flesh is that deadbeat that don't want to work, you're doing him more harm than good. Carla gave me this scripture years ago. When my mother and father forsake me or cut me loose, the Lord will take me up. As long as you're their Savior, you're trying to keep them out of the ditch. As long as you're their Savior, they don't need a Savior. They got you. And you're mad at them, and you're bitter toward them because they're not doing what you think. You know, hindsight, I had a son die of AIDS in 1989. And, I mean, it was like years and years, for 20 years, praying for this son, trying to keep him out of trouble. It was like I'd be holding on, don't get in the slop, don't get in the slop, trying to keep him out of the slop. Hindsight, if I had to do over again, I'd kick him right in the slop. Because that's where he learns his lessons. Is that right? The prodigal son, the father didn't support him while he was in the pig pen. So don't let false compassion cause you to enable your children, because they're never going to change until you change. And you say, "Love, I love you, darling. I love you very much, but I'm sorry you're going to have to suffer your wrong choices." Because that's how we learn. Did you ever learn by your blessings? We always learn by the hard things we go through. And so my mother sent my son probably $2,300 a month when he was living that lifestyle, because she couldn't stand to see him sleep on the street. Had she let him sleep on the street, the little spoiled kid, that would have got him saved. He wouldn't have had to have AIDS, but God had to give him a problem that my mother couldn't fix, or she'd have fixed it. And I believe he'd be alive today. I'm not angry at my mother. I mean, I didn't want him on the street either. You know what I'm saying? I didn't try to stop her. It wouldn't have done any good. She wouldn't have stopped anyway, but don't enable your kids, because you're prolonging the agony. Until you stop doing it, you know, Joan would have never had the courage to do that, to just separate from her son, because all that she's gone through, she's been abused by her son. And now she's standing up to it. She wouldn't have done that without deliverance. She'd have kept on enabling him. But he's going to get saved. Lord, we ask you to save Kenny right now in Jesus' name.
My whole family.
Yeah, whole family. Lord, we ask you for all the people that are grieving over their kids. We ask you right now, Lord, you said if any two agree upon anything as touching heaven or earth, it shall be done unto them. We ask that every offspring of every person in this room, Lord, we remind you of your covenant. Lord, you said that if our children forsake your covenant, you'll visit their transgressions with a rod, but you will not deal falsely with your covenant. And so, Lord, we thank you that we're in covenant with you. And you said, Lord, that if we lay our gold in the dust and we remember the Almighty as our gold, we can decree a thing, and those who do not deserve to be saved will be saved by the cleanness of our hands. In Jesus' name. So we just decree salvation to come to every child, every descendant of every person in this room. And Lord, we dedicate our descendants to you. In Jesus' name, do whatever it takes, Lord. And Lord, we take them up the mountain like Abraham took up Isaac, and we take our hands off them. And Lord, all we ask is be glorified in their lives. And we tell you, devil, get your hands off of them. In Jesus' name. Amen. It says then, let me back up. I've gotten out of my place. This thing jumps. And don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Verse 8, it says, then your light will break out as the dawn. Does it seem kind of dark right now? And your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of your finger and speaking wickedness, like Carla was talking about pointing your finger at people, blaming other folks. You know, I've discovered that when there's a turkey in my life and a difficult person, it's because God's trying to show me me. Every time. Either something I did or something I judged. What's that saying? It's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, O Lord, and the need of prayer. It says, if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of your finger and speaking wickedness. You know, the difficult people in my life, God has used me and used them to show me myself, show me what I've done, how I've treated others. And that's the purpose of the trial. It says, if you give yourself to the hungry, that's those that are spiritual hungry and physical hungry, and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will arise as in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you'll be like a well-watered garden, a spring of water whose waters never fail. What a promise. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. And you'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from evil, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word. Now, that's something I'm still working on. I don't guess I quite understand the Sabbath. I believe there's a Sabbath rest, and every day we should be resting in the Lord. And so, but this is what the Word of God says. So, Lord, give us understanding of what this fully means in Jesus' name. It says, then you'll take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Have you feel like you've been down in the nasty mound now? He wants you to ride on the heights of the earth. And I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so God wants each of us to be healers of the breach. And I just want to try to illustrate the breach. And Debra's going to put that up there. Do I take this with me?
Please.
Okay. Okay. Lord, let me explain this. This represents our body. And then do the next one with the soul and our spirit realm. And your spirit is united with Christ. But in a wounded spirit or a broken heart, you can have your human spirit broken. Not the spirit of the Lord, but we're born in our bodies with a human spirit. Okay, show the next.
So this represents our body, our soul, our spirit, and we're born with lots of breaches or the broken places in our life because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers. And so we're born with these breaches. These are places where our forefathers didn't go to God and deal with it by sundown. It's sin that our forefathers did not repent of. Okay, do the next one. And the next one, next one, next one. Okay. So wait a minute, back up. back up again. So we're born with breaches. And then the sin we commit causes breaches to what we don't deal with. The sins committed against us cause a breach and we don't forgive. So we can just add breach after breach after breach of things that have happened, things that have been planted down in our soul. And this is the salvation of the soul. And so these places are the broken places that God wants to heal. And through deliverance, when we repent, then God removes it. But if you don't deal with it, what you do, if you don't go to God, okay, the next one. If you don't go to God, you're turning to a false god in all these places. If I let the sun go down on my anger, I'm not dealing with sin. And so what I'm doing is letting the sun go down on my anger. And if I don't go to God, I turn to a false god in all these areas. And then if I don't deal with it through making these vows, okay, next one, Brenda. And so then I get my spirit man wounded in all these places. I get my button pushed in the next one. And so, but if I don't deal with it, just keep doing it. Eventually, keep them. It'll work out in my body in physical sickness. And so all of this is hidden. But when I have a problem is when God wants to show me the next one. And so that's how I work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And so, but anyway, God wants us to be used to heal the breaches, because wherever I have a breach, I have a wounded spirit. Wherever I have a breach, I've turned to a false god. Wherever I turn to a false god, I've got bitterness, hurt, resentment, vexation, anger, fear, and just multitudes of demonic spirits. And so that's why we have to keep dealing. That's why repentance is so important. If I don't repent of my sin, I keep the breach. If I want to get my body healed, I just deal with them. Okay, say the next one. And see, work out cancer, sickness, addictions, pain. And just as I deal with it, the next one. See how God heals it? Next one. And so that's a soul tie, an illustration of a soul tie. A soul tie is a connection in the spirit. The next one, I can have soul ties with hundreds of people, and wherever I have a soul tie, I get a part of them and they get a part of me. That's why sometimes in addictions, if I have an addiction and I'm trying to break an addiction, I've got to break soul ties with every person that I've ever taken drugs with, sinned with under the influence of drugs and alcohol, sold drugs to, given drugs to, received. I've got to break soul ties with all those people because I get a part of them and they get a part of me. Praise the Lord. My son, for him to be delivered, healed of AIDS, he said, Mom, I had sex with so many people that if I met him on the street, I wouldn't recognize him. Well, the man he was living with when he got sick died of AIDS 2 years after he did. And so for him to get healed, he would have had to deal with all of those relationships of the homosexuals he had sex with that had AIDS, because it's transferred. Okay. And if you were here last year, I think I shared my testimony of a broken heart. I was really happily married, and I thought my husband was happy, and he was president of a bank in a little town, and I just had everything, you know, that anybody would want. And one day he just came home and he said, I want a divorce. And I said, oh, Jimmy, God doesn't want us to have a divorce. He said, and the more you talk about God, the more you turn me off. You're too religious. Anyway, I went through the saddest thing I ever went through. One day I went by his girlfriend's house and he was in the yard holding her little baby. And I thought, he's left his two sons. Now he's holding somebody else's baby. I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. I said, oh, Lord, get me out of this world. Kill me. And I said, well, Lord, if you're not going to kill me, kill him. Because I really did pray that. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a divorcee. Anyway, I'm thankful that my mother and daddy furnished my attorney, and he was some big hotshot attorney. He leaned over and said, what do you want with that? You know why? Anyway, it took him 9 hours. He would object to everything. We were in a divorce trial for 9 hours. And when it was over, the judge granted, and the judge was the elder in the church where we're going to. And so, he granted the divorce, and then my attorney said, we appeal it to a higher court. So I appealed it to a higher court. And everybody said, what are you holding on to him for? Let him go. Let him go. And I said, Lord, am I deceived? God, do you want me to let him go? I said, Lord, if you want him to let him go, if you want me to let him go, have him come and tell me he'll give me everything. Oh, wow. 2 weeks he came, he said, I'll give you everything, just give me a divorce. So I let him go. I cried all day because that wasn't what I wanted. Yeah. I cried and cried and cried. And I remember one day I was sitting in church, tears were splashing down on my Bible. And, you know, I'm a person, if I'm happy, my sad, I'm sad, and you know it. There's no doubt about it. And so this lady reached over and she opened my Bible to Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, they're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And it was like, God, you have a plan in this mess. Yeah. And you know, I really was trying to live for the Lord with all my heart. I really love the Lord with all my heart. And I remember once my husband said, if you could do anything you want to do, what would it be? I said, go to the pardon witness. He said, oh, I'd have to be Billy Graham to please you. Anyway, so a man that hid him and his girlfriend out told me, he said, Jerry, I lost my business because I hid your husband and his girlfriend out. He said, I lost everything I own because I was trying to serve the Lord. And so when somebody's trying to serve the Lord and trying to live for the Lord, you better not mess with them. Because he was president of a bank in a Seventh-day Adventist town, and they hired him because they thought he was a good Christian. And they said, Jimmy, if you divorce Jerry, you're fired. Mm-hmm. They fired him. Mm-hmm. He said he went from cash to trash. Anyway, he went to work for Brown and Ferris Industries, which is a trash company. You know, you. But you know what? That was the saddest thing that I ever went through, the fact that my little boys didn't have a daddy. And then the other pain of it is to marry a stepfather, and one, he loves one of your kids, and one of them he rejects. I can't tell you the trauma that caused me in my lifetime. But you know what? I got better instead of bitter. Now I think, had I not gone through that, I remember crying, laying on the floor crying. It was like he left right at Thanksgiving and Christmas. It was a sad time anyway. I remember laying in front of the fireplace crying and saying, Lord, you said if I delight in the Lord, if I delight in you, I'll have. And I said, Lord, I've made so many mistakes, but I know I've delighted in you. With all my heart, I've delighted in you. And Lord, you said if I delight in you that I can have the desires of my heart. And I said, Lord, I want my husband back. And he said, Jerry, I'd say, Lord, I used to say, Lord, you're all I want. I don't want anything else. And he was saying, Jerry, am I really all you want? Yes, Lord, you're all I want. And had I not gone through that experience, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I was so self-righteous. I was teaching Sunday school. Could not believe all these deacons were out in the parking lot smoking and all these divorced people in the church. And now I get hit right between the eyes with a 2x4 to humble my self-righteousness. And so God said everything works together for good. Whether it looks like it or not, because he wants to conform you to his image. And he wants to use you to help other people that went through the same thing you went through. And so your life's not lost. God's got a plan. God knew when you were born what he wanted you to do on this earth. And it's never too late. God's got a plan for your life and he wants to use you. He wants you to be a repairer of the breach. Whether you have a set ministry or not. We're all ministers. You don't have to have an organization to be a minister.
Amen.
You know, we lost our board when my son was dying of AIDS. we lost all of our board members of Abiding Life Ministries at that time. We have board members now, but we lost them all. And you know what? I had to say, Lord, you know, if you don't want me to minister, I can go sit down at that AIDS center and sit on the bench and minister to these dying homosexuals if nobody else wants me. And then that particular husband left me 3 times in 10 years, and I met Eva out in California. I was doing seminars out in California, and I met her out there, and for 2 years he was gone. Nobody even asked me where he was. My little granddaughter would call me when she was 3, Holly. She'd say, he was a great grandpa, I tell you. He'd call and she'd say, "Where's Papa?" And I'd say, "He's in Dallas." And she'd call the next week. She'd say, "Where's Papa?" I said, "He's in Dallas." She'd say, "Where's Papa?" She'd just keep asking me. Finally, one day she said, "Well, when's Papa coming home?" Anyway, you know what? God wants you to overcome, and He wants you to be better, not bitter. Bitterness. If you let the sun go down on your anger, you get a foothold to the devil, and you'll be a bitter person. Bitterness will kill you. Like Carla said, it's like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. And I'm sure all of you could give a testimony of all the hurt in your life. But, you know, the Bible says there's a throne of grace you can go to. We have to humble ourselves to get there. And at the throne of grace, we get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected, and just keep on going. Just keep on going to the throne of grace. Get on the potter's wheel. And there's a wonderful promise in Isaiah 42, verse 3. It says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a burning wick he will not extinguish." You know, the devil wants to extinguish us. He wants you to be a bitter old person. But God, you know, another word for Satan is wormwood. You know, he's the star that falls, wormwood, and he's bitter. Wormwood's bitter. You know, in the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom tells the bride, he says, "Your mouth is so sweet, my darling." And see, God's bride has a sweet mouth, not a bitter mouth. And if bitterness is down in your heart, you know what? It's going to come out your mouth. And so listen to what comes out of your mouth. It says in Hebrews, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin." And Jesus, if he can sympathize with us, he wants us to sympathize, not enable, but have compassion for people. And I can tell you, because I grew up with, you know, a happy childhood other than being overweight, I really had no traumas growing up at all. I mean, I had a good mom and dad that loved me. But you know what? When you grow up like that, you get kind of self-righteous. You think, well, nothing's happened to me because I'm so good. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you're not trying to be self-righteous or haughty, but Lord, God's let me go through things to humble me. To give me compassion for people.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.